Now, I wonder what we're going to buy today. Well, I don't wonder, but maybe you're wondering. We bought a treasure in a field a while back. We bought a pearl of great price a while back. And last Sunday we bought the truth. So, maybe you wonder a little what we're going to buy today. We don't have time today to do much shopping. But I'll tell you, whatever you buy of spiritual things, the things of God, God doesn't have any bargain counters. There's no bargain basements. God doesn't have any cheap John religions or anything related to it. I'm reminded of one time way back down the line when this incident I'm going to refer to relates to Bill Bush's great-grandfather, Squire Wilson. And his wife died, and Uncle Squire was one of the old school, pretty thrifty and economical. That's the way all those old timers came up. They had to. They didn't have much money in those days or anything. But his wife died, and his son Benton went with him down to the mortuary to select the casket and make arrangements for the funeral service. When they went in, they had various kinds of caskets, various prices and so on. Benton walked up to his father and he says, "You're not looking for anything cheap today, Dad." He wanted proper respect shown to his mother. And they didn't want to look for anything cheap today. Well, I say that in regard to what we're going to talk about and what we have been talking about, let's don't look for anything cheap when it comes to dealing with God and the things of God and the things that pertain to our spiritual life and to heaven and all. Let's don't look for anything cheap. There isn't anything cheap. I'll bring my little slogan again. Salvation, the kingdom of heaven, is the most expensive thing there is in this world and well worth it. What you get is well worth what you give for it. Well, we're going to read a couple of verses here. In the third chapter of Revelation, verses 17 and 18. This is part of God's message to the, or Christ's message to the church at Laodicea. He says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Well, now you see what we're going to buy today. We're going to buy some pure gold. Gold's expensive. It hadn't been very long I heard him announce that gold was $255 an ounce. That's pretty expensive stuff. when you go to buying pure gold, that's going to cost you something. Then we're going to buy some clothes. And we're going to buy some eye salve and follow the physician's directions on how to use the eye salve. That we may see. Now I'm struck with the way this church saw themselves. They said, we're rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. Folks, let me tell you, when you reach a point where you don't feel a need of anything, you're in a pretty bad shape. You're not seeing things like you should. These folks weren't seeing things as they should. They were a wealthy church, rich, increased with goods. I had the radio on one morning this past week, and I heard Dr. Lehman Strauss down at Los Angeles. He was telling about his work, and he said he had preached in about 2,500 different churches across the country, and had pastored 2 churches. And he said in one church where he went to preach, they hired a celebrity to come in and entertain them, and gave this celebrity $2,500 for one appearance. And it was just an entertainment. But the folks were pointing out to him their grand buildings and everything, and they were a rich church. I say they were bankrupt. Just a bankrupt church. Not a thing to go on. He said he could just point out right along where they paid from $1,000 to $2,500 for one appearance of celebrities to come in and entertain them in their church services. Now, I don't know whether this church was like that or not, but they were rich. They were increased with goods. They didn't need a thing. Reminds me of a woman that we had down south. Her name was Peak. And she lived in Los Angeles, but later on she went to live with some of her children up in the Bay Area around San Francisco or Oakland, somewhere up in there. Well, the church was her life. And they weren't church people where she was living, and she had no way to get to church, and they didn't provide her any way to get to church. Probably wasn't very close to any saints church anyway up there. And she just got very unhappy. I wish some of us would get unhappy when we have to miss church service. But she just got very unhappy. So they phoned down to our place one day and talked to Opal and told them how unhappy their mother was. They wondered if there would be any possibility of us taking her down there with us for a while, and she'd have her church privileges and be among her people, and they thought maybe she'd be happier. And Opal said, well, bring her on down and we'll do the best we can by her. So she came and stayed with us in our home for some time. Now this woman's was having some mental problems, and she was kind of off, but she was kind of off in a different direction to what some folks go. They get depressed and fearful and so on, but oh, she just had big ideas and big things. She was pretty well off, she thought. She didn't have a thing to subsist on but her social welfare check that she got every month, but in her mind, she was just sailing high. Well, in the transfer from up there in the Bay Area down to our place, she lost contact with her social welfare worker, and she didn't get a check for, I don't know, maybe 2 months or so. So she didn't have anything going. Well, finally they got the connection made, and it so happened that this particular day, I was back east somewhere, and Opal had been called down across Los Angeles on account of a death in some family down there, and there wasn't anyone there but this woman. And her social welfare worker made a call on her that morning, and so she came out to just get the record straight and sign her up in that area to get her welfare check. The woman said to her, "I don't want any welfare check. I don't need any welfare check." Said, "I've got thousands of dollars laid up in a bank back in Texas that I inherited from my granddaughter. I never will need any more welfare check." Well, the lady made notes of all of this and went on back. When Opal came home, well, the lady told her about the social worker being out there and what she told her, and Opal went to the phone and called up there and told him, says, "That isn't so what that woman told you." Said, she really needs this check. Said, she's missed out on a couple now, and she just without funds, and she needs this check. And so they made an appointment with Opal to bring her in the next morning, and they'd try to straighten it out. But when they got there, why, she had also told the woman, says, "I have a job here with the church," and said, "I'm just getting along great." Well, Opal tried to explain to them that she didn't have any job with the church, and she didn't have any income, and that money she had, said she had laid up in the bank back in Texas, she didn't have that either, and that she needed that welfare check. But when it sounded down, they told her, said, "No." Said, "Now this is this woman's own testimony," and said, "We can't do a thing for her till we run this out." So it took another month or two to clear that up. And she was without funds all this time. But she said, "I'm rich. I don't need anything. I won't ever need anything more help from you. Oh, I got plenty." Have you ever seen people like that? I've seen too many of them for my comfort. I've seen too many people whose needs were great. But they tell you, "I'm doing good. Lord's blessing me. I'm getting along fine. I don't need any help." That's the way these folks were. In their own estimation, that's the way they were. There's a lot of bankrupt people, spiritually speaking, in the world today that think they're just soaring high and getting along wonderfully. And there are bankrupt churches that think they're just prospering and being much blessed and increased with goods. As far as this world's concerned, they are. Reminds me of a fellow. He was the father-in-law of the man that I worked for in Anthony, Kansas, and he lived in Medicine Lodge, Kansas, about 35, 40 miles away. His name was Charlie Page. He had been associated with the saints back in the early day when they first came into that area. But he'd gotten away from them and wound up with the Methodists, I think it was. Well, he's pretty old now and not able to get around much. Someone visited him one Sunday afternoon and said, "Charlie, did you go to church this morning?" Oh, he said, "I went over to the program." That's about all a lot of it is, just a program. Bankrupt so far as spiritual resources are concerned. My brother told me about a big church in Bradenton, Florida. That is where he lived. And it wasn't far to the beach from there. And during the season, well, they had problems with their attendance. People wanted to go to the beach. And weather was hot, and they wanted to get to the beach. And so the attendance dropped off. And he said their minister advertised for everybody to come to church on Sunday morning. Says, "Be here at 11. I'll guarantee to have you out by 11:30. Well, that is just about long enough for a little program. And take the collection and turn them loose to go to the beaches and wherever they were going. Bankrupt. Maybe rich, maybe increased with goods as far as this world's goods are concerned, but spiritually bankrupt. Lehman Strauss said another thing in the message I heard him bring. He said some of the churches where he went were just kind of glorified country clubs. And just kind of social clubs. Bankrupt. They say we're rich, and there's never been a time when churches were laying out more money, I suppose, for fine structures and fine entertainment and fine preachers and this and that and the other than there is today. But they're not getting the essentials of the spiritual life and of salvation. Now Jesus begins to tell these folks how he saw them. Says, "You don't know it." That's a sad thing when people are in a bad condition and don't know it. He says, "You don't know it, but you're miserable and poor and blind and naked." Just the result, just the opposite of what they thought they were. In their thoughts, they were soaring high. In actuality, they were away down here, poverty-stricken. Miserable, poor, blind, naked. They needed to get on down here. Individuals need to get on down here. Brother Lewis Williams preached a message in Los Angeles some years back, and he was preaching on the terms of salvation and dealing with humility, and except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Says, "Folks, get on down here." "Well," he said, "you may say how far down you want us to come." He said, "Just get on down here where you are." Said there's so many folks that in their minds they think they're way up here when actually they're way down here. Said just get on down here and think of yourself on even terms. Get out of here where you are. Now, he said, I counsel thee to buy. Buy of me. It's Christ that has the things we need. He's the only one that has the things we need. That we get from Christ is the only thing that's going to help us in this life or to get to heaven in the end. Buy me. People are buying all right. They're paying a big price for it. But they're buying the wrong things from the wrong source. Going the wrong way. Christ said, buy me now, I have what you need. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich. What we approach to now is the true riches. That these folks were boasting about and they felt snug and secure in was not true riches. With all those riches, they were bankrupt, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. But this is true riches. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Now, pure gold's expensive. I don't know what it is today. I told you I heard recently, not very long back, it was $255 an ounce, and that was a record. It dropped off some from that. But gold will cost you. But when you have it, you have something. Gold is something of lasting value. And this gold he's talking about has eternal value, everlasting value. In the 17th chapter of Proverbs, in the 3rd verse, he says, the fining pot for silver, the furnace for gold. Now, if we're just satisfied with silver, the fining pot might do. But if you want gold, Jesus said, buy me gold. Pure gold now. And it takes a furnace to produce pure gold. It's through the deep trials that we go through in life that brings us out gold. It's by those means that we buy gold, that we enrich our lives, that we increase ourselves in the divine virtues and graces of God. Peter said, 1 Peter the 1st chapter 7th verse, knowing this, that the trial of your faith is more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Be tried with fire. There's something precious about trials. I heard my father bring a message once about precious things. And he spoke of how saints counted saints precious people. They were precious to them. And his text was, those who have obtained like precious faith with us. That faith was precious. And that the truth, the gospel of Christ was precious. Christ was precious. Different things that he brought out in that message that were precious, but he said, somehow or other, I don't ever hear people talk much about precious trials. But they're precious too. the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Job said in the 23rd chapter of Job, verse 10, I suppose everyone knows the story of Job. And they know the severe situation that Job got in. Boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. His body just covered with boils. You ever have any boils? Anybody in here ever have any boils? How many did you have? What? How'd you like it?
One was enough.
One was enough. Well, Job had a whole body full of them. His body just covered with boils. And in the midst of that kind of a trial, now God hit out on him. Probably that is the worst part of his trial. He couldn't find God. He couldn't receive any comfort. He said, I went backward and he wasn't there, and forward and he wasn't there, and I looked on the right hand and on the left where he had worked, and behold, I could not find him. God hit out on him. But right there, he said, well, he knows the way I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job's gold cost him something. That was expensive gold. But Job never had an attitude like some folks have. Well, maybe I'll come out of it, but I don't know what it'll look like. I don't know what condition I'll be in when I get through it. Job knew what he's going to look like. He's going to come out shining just like new money. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job was being purged. The process was going on. God was working to perfect Job. And he did perfect Job. Brought him out till he could actually pray for those fellows that had heckled him all the way through this thing and accused him and downgraded him and all of that. In the end, God told them, said, you take your sacrifice now and go over and get my servant Job to pray for you. I'll hear him, but I won't hear you. Don't you know that was something for those fellas to do that? After they had held themselves up as the righteous people and way up there, all through this experience, and downgraded Job and the fault they found with him, for them to have to go over there and tell him they wanted him to pray for him. Don't you know that has kind of come down for those fellas? But folks, I'm telling you, it wasn't as much come down for them as it was for Job. You know, it took something for Job to be able to pray for those men. Those men that had pierced his heart through and through with their accusations and their ridicules and different things that they had said to him, for him to sincerely go before God and pray for them, don't you know that is a difficult thing for him to do? But that is what God was after. It said after Job prayed for his comforters, God turned his captivity. God didn't break that thing till Job reached a point where he was able. He humbled his heart and come on down to where he could pray for them people. That is what God was after. Job says, he makes my heart soft. Everything we read about Job in the Bible would indicate to us that his heart was already soft. But that is the kind of softness God was after. To soften his heart and break his heart up till he could pray for them men that had heckled him all the way through this experience he'd had. When he did that, God turned his captivity, released him. He came out like new money. He came forth as gold. I was thinking of those three Hebrew children that went in a fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow to a graven image and remained true to their God. They went in a fiery furnace. The Lord went in there with them. And they came through that without their hair being singed or not having their garments scorched. God protected them from that fire till it didn't harm them. Don't you know that was a great thing to those fellows? I imagine on down the line, I can see them with their grandchildren gathered around them and just getting a great deal of satisfaction out of telling their grandchildren how I went through the fire and it didn't even burn me. What had happened? Don't you and I get inspiration and get some thrill and excitement after telling about some great thing God's done for us somewhere along the line? Oh, we can get real enthused about that. I imagine these men did too. They got real enthused when they'd go back and rehearse this story about going through fire and it didn't even singe their hair or burn their garments. God saved them from the fire. The furnace. The furnace will not harm you, it'll just purge you. You're buying gold when you go through the furnace. 48th chapter of Isaiah and verse 10 says, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. That's where God purges and purifies the souls and the lives of men and women to where they can be chosen of Him. It's expensive, it's costly, but it's worth every bit of it. Well, we didn't get all this shopping done today, but Lord willing, we will some other day. Trust the Lord will bless all of us and help us to pay the price and obtain the prize. I've paid the price and obtained the prize. He saved my soul that was lost. And now my treasures are in the skies. I'm glad I counted the cost. All right, let's stand now and be dismissed. Kind Father, we approach to you again to express our appreciation and thanksgiving for the great plan of salvation and all that it affords. It's costly, but you've paid the cost and you've provided us with the necessaries and essentials to pay our part and to do what's necessary for us to do to obtain all of the bountiful provisions of the plan of salvation. I want you to bless every soul present this morning. Encourage everyone in the right ways of life. Increase and inspire our faith. You've said in your word, the just live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. It's through faith that we live this life and that we lay hold on eternal life. We pray that you will inspire and increase faith in every one of our souls. That you will encourage us in the right ways of life and help us to realize and give us that perspective that no price is too great for the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ in our souls. We ask you to dismiss us now from this service with your blessings upon us and in the fellowship of your Spirit. Stretch out your hand over us. Go with us to our places. Grant each one safe escort to the places we go. Be with us through the afternoon. Meet with us in the service tonight. Pray that you'll pour out your Spirit and power and anointing and grace on tonight's service. Make it a blessing to every soul. In Jesus' name, amen.